Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Greetings and welcome to this, our latest edition of Brock and Roll with me, Mike Brocken, here on MinervaRadio.uk, where thanks to Coldy Media, specialist music broadcasting reigns supreme. This week I've decided to look at one of the most important items in record companies' arsenal of sale gimmicks, the budget sampler. And in doing so, I want to consider CBS's entry into this fascinating sphere. It's really interesting. In previous Brock and Roll, actually, I mentioned that Transatlantic Records were one of the first labels to experiment with a budget sampler release, successfully promoting their new and forthcoming products via this well-pressed album, which then retailed for only 14 and 6 in old money, which is less than 75p. We've also discussed Islands, You Can All Join In, which was even more successful too. And actually, it goes back to the 1950s. I think there was an RCA sampler over here, which may have even sold for maybe 10 bob. But anyway, arguably, the real winner in this race to attract younger people and less well-off listeners to their artists was CBS, with two massive selling samplers, Rock Machine Turns You On, which was released in 1968, and Rock Machine I Love You, which I think came out early 69. So I thought I would select some tracks from both volumes and relate to you how they came to dominate the then new marketplace of the alternative music sampler. So let's hear a track from side one of Rock Machine Turns You On, just to get us in the mood. I love this stuff, I really do. And what I've done is to actually give you the music from the original stereo vinyl all the way through. So let's take off with Spirit and Fresh Garbage.
Fresh garbage.
Wonderful stuff, that. I've loved that for years and years and years and years. One of California's finest, I've always thought. That spirit from their first album, the eponymous album, and that's Fresh Garbage, which is a real jazzy lament. You know, the time signatures are a bit weird, aren't they? But it's actually about waste pollution, you know. He says, look beneath your lid some morning and see those things you didn't quite consume. Which is a great lyric, isn't it? Written by Jay Ferguson of the band. And taken in this case from Rock Machine Turns You On. I've mentioned previously, actually, that despite great albums and single successes for Bob Dylan and the Byrds, Simon and Garfunkel, etc., the CBS label's new offices, there were new offices in the mid-60s in London, tended to release lesser-known material in something of a sort of a scattergun approach. I think the strategy, especially with music they didn't quite understand, was, well, if enough excrement hits the fan, some of it's bound to stick, really. And actually, a lot of it, most of it, didn't stick at all. So especially CBS singles releases in the years between 66 and 68 were plentiful, but it mostly lost in the rush to the charts, such as this next one, an utter gem from the Zombies. This is Time of the Season.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in the sun to
promised lands,
to show you everyone.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? He rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Like me, has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Stuff just great, isn't it? And it really stands up right to the present day. I think that's the Zombies' Time of the Season, a complete flop over here, but one which bubbled under for a while in the US before becoming a big hit over there. DJ-led, you know, the DJs really liked it there. By which time, though, the band had all but broken up. So there you go. That's showbiz for you. The CBS album Odyssey and Oracle also, which is brilliant. That also escaped rather than getting released, I think. And it's latterly regarded as an absolute masterpiece. Just great. They were a great band. Well, still are. Still going strong, actually. Although Rod's retired now. Rod Argent's retired. Actually, do you know, I think the first time I ever heard Time of the Season was on a Rock Machine sampler. So poor was CBS's plugging and marketing at that time. Amazing. You could always also tell with CBS, you could always tell you were a bit off the boil. With their inner sleeves, you know, they had these inner sleeves and they were always advertising, you know, Marty Robbins and Tony Bennett, Andy Williams, and of course the great Ray Conniff, you know, all these adverts on the inner sleeves for their albums. And you'd think, that's not aimed at me. That's not aimed at me. Amazing though, really interesting stuff. During late 67, actually, what happened was a guy by the name of David Howells in CBS London was introduced to the Canadian poet Leonard Cohen. And Cohen was carrying with him at the time tapes of songs he'd recorded with US Columbia staff producer John Simon in New York City. And on the tapes were songs, not poems. And Howells was intrigued, so much so, by the time Songs of Leonard Cohen was released by CBS in the UK in early 68, David Howells had already placed the song Sisters of Mercy on the sampler Rock Machine Turns You On. And he knew this. I'm sure he was aware of the fact that doing so proved crucial to the career of a number of especially North American artists signed by Columbia, such as the Canadian Leonard Cohen, of course. And Howells was later to admit to David Hepworth, actually, that he said, quote, "We had all this talent on CBS and there was no way of getting people to hear it," he said. In 1968, he went on, the music papers were still mainly bothered about singles, and of course CBS were notoriously rubbish at singles. So Howells, therefore, broke the singles-dominated logjam by creating a budget CBS sampler LP. And as we said before, samplers did pre-exist this decision, of course. He knew that Columbia in the US had signed lots of new artists, especially after Clive Davis, who was the company lawyer at the time, you know, the infamous Clive Davis. He'd returned from the Monterey Pop Festival, a changed man. I think we'd better leave it there, really, hadn't we? And he wanted Columbia, CBS to us, to be seen as hip for 14 and 6. Hence, of course, Leonard Cohen.
All the sisters of mercy, they are not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort, and later they brought me this song. I hope you run into them, you who've been traveling so long. Yes, you who must leave everything that you cannot control. It begins with your family, but soon it comes round to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging, I think I can see how you're pinned. When you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned. Well, they lay down beside me, I For life is a leaf that the seasons tear off and condemn. They will bind you with love that is graceful and green as a stem. If I hear that they sweeten your night, we weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right.
Lovely stuff. Look, oh, it's great. The crackles and the pops make it even better for me. And where he's saying, you know, anything with an S, it goes shh, doesn't it, on the record. But that's taken from my original copy of Rock Machine Turns You On, the sampler album. It's over 50 years old, that vinyl, you know, so it's done pretty well, hasn't it? It was released in 1968, and that's, of course, Sisters of Mercy by Leonard Cohen. One of the reasons CBS had bought out, actually, funny, talking about vinyl, the UK indie Oriole Records. Does anybody remember Oriole? They had a few hit singles of their own, but they were bought out in, I think it was 62 or 63, by CBS during that early part of the decade. And one of the reasons why, that they had, I think, two pressing plants, actually. Therefore, the quality of CBS vinyl was initially excellent, unless they'd outsource it, of course. And by the 1970s, they were outsourcing. Then the quality of their vinyl by the mid-70s, gosh, it was terrible. But at this time, it was very good. And Oriole, funnily enough, Oriole also pressed for Woolworth's Embassy label. Does anybody remember that? The Embassy label, you get records cheap. Which just goes to show you how good Embassy pressings actually were, even though some of the artists were appalling on it, really. But anyway, that's CBS for you. And very soon, the point of the Rock Machine concept became clear to their customers. They sold really, really well, especially to young music fans like myself, who could barely afford new singles, never mind full-priced albums that probably retailed at that stage for maybe 39 and 11, you know, just short of £2. And if you're looking for something non-mainstream and not dependent upon single airplay from BBC Radio 1, you might as well take a punt for 14 and 6. And the advertising copy on the sleeve is mildly hilarious these days, but it really meant something to me at the time. Listen to this blurb now. This is on the back of the sleeve. It's on the back of both albums, actually. The Rock Machine is a machine with a soul. The Rock Machine isn't to grind you up. It's to wind you up. The sound is driving. The sound is searching. The sound is music. It's your bag, so it's ours. It's the superstars and the poets. It's the innovators and the underground. It's the loners and the lovers, and it's more, much more. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? But I kind of got into that, actually. Oh, by me. And furthermore, not only could you find Rock Machine LPs in record shops, of course, but they also were presented as what they call a rack filler in newsagents, TV rental shops, and even chemists, actually. You could find me, because some chemists did have little record departments in those days. I actually purchased mine from a sweet shop on Derby Lane in Liverpool. But I was, for the most part, you know, in record shops all of the time, but more often than not, looking rather than buying, if you see what I mean. A second volume, Rock Machine I Love You, followed about 12 months after the first one, when I first heard this next track, and I almost passed out from pure pleasure.
Can you survey? Can you picnic? Whoa, can you survey? Can you picnic? Come on, come on and survey down to a stone salt picnic.
Can you survey down?
Can
Soul picnic, not just stone, which is good in Americanisms, isn't it? Stoned, a stoned soul picnic from her album Eli and the 13th Confession, which is an amazing piece of music. And that track just made me realize how varied popular music could be. I thought, well, it wasn't rock in the sense I was used to, and neither was it the sort of Motown soul-y stuff, all the Scouskins used to love so much, and it wasn't that either. In fact, there was even a little bit of jazziness about it that I loved, really. So Rock Machine, I Love You really started to open my ears to other sounds. As with this next selection, actually, my friends at school all seemed to hate this band, but I really liked this song, so I kind of kept it to myself, really. They said, what do you like? Well, actually, what I was playing very often was the opening track from Rock Machine, I Love You, which was Blood, Sweat and Tears, More and More.
Together, and the love you give me, darling, just gets better and better. That's why my love for you keep on growing more and more all the time. More and more all the time. Yeah. Gonna say it again now, now, now. Like a ship that drifts in vain, you're apart from me. Control my destiny. If from my life you ever decide to go, it would destroy in a second what took a lifetime to mold. And that's why my love for you just keep on growing more and more all the time. Hey!
willing to say I'm ready to pay, yeah, my dues for loving you. For loving you too much, woman, you know I stand accused.
Lovely stuff. Blood, Sweat and Tears. I love that. I still love it now. Sock It To Me music from Blood, Sweat and Tears. More and More, which was a big hit in America. But, you know, audiences were divided about their authenticity a lot. Two good albums, though, I think. But after that, they kind of slid away a little bit. Love it, though. I even remember keeping stum at school about my love of Blood, Sweat and Tears. They were so uncool with me classmates, really. As were Chicago Transit Authority, who I also liked. But they weren't on these two samplers. They ended up being on a later one. But their first album was a double, and that was a budget price double. So it's kind of along the same lines as Rock Machine, and some great stuff on that CTA album. Chicago, of course, better known as. Must have been the horns and jazz pretensions that put off my colleagues. Oh, well, you couldn't please them all, could you? CBS. CBS certainly couldn't. Here's another track, though, from the second Rock Machine sampler LP that I thought was just ace. I didn't know it at the time that this next guy was a member of what was to become my favourite rock band of all time, really, Quicksilver Messenger Service. This is Dino Valenti.
Time slipping away, new dreams born every day. Suddenly these dreams are behind you. Ever falling like rain, changing again and again. Is there someone who loves you? We may only be here one time. For all anyone knows, and we already share one mind, what more could we ask for than sunlight born of the dawn? Night dreams having all flown. In tune with creation, we may only be here one time. For all anyone knows, and we already share one mind, baby, what more could we ask for? Time slipping away, new dreams born every day. In tune with creation,
lovely stuff. I love that. Former folky, really, by this time, former Dino Valenti's Time. From a solo album he cut with Tom Wilson in New York, in between, I think, spells with the early Quicksilver and then being in the clink, I think, being arrested for drug taking on the West Coast. He also ran into a lot of problems because he claimed a composition for Hey Joe. Do you know that story? I mean, we must do a story about Hey Joe, but Dino Valenti claimed copyright on Hey Joe, and it wasn't his. A guy called Billy Roberts, another New York folk singer of the day, he actually put it together. And Dino's original album, I mentioned, I'm sure it's almost impossible to find these days. Such was CBS's dodgy promotion in those days, you might say. But a few years later, in about 1971, I think, I picked up a deleted copy in Woolies in Church Street in Liverpool for £1. Cost £1. It was rare then, and it's like the Rosetta Stone of Quicksilver collecting, you know, these days. I've still got it, actually, so maybe that'll pay me mortgage eventually. Now, back to the groundbreaking Rock Machine Volume 1 for a bit of the Byrds. And in between the two Rock Machine releases, the Byrds were experimenting with new musical directions. Their notorious Byrd Brothers masterpiece had been released before Rock Machine Turns You On, but the band was disintegrating. Apparently, the horse on the album sleeve photo was a replacement for the outgoing David Crosby, by all accounts. I know, into the usual CBS issues about promo, the album didn't sell very well at all, but if you've never heard it, honestly, you must listen to the notorious Byrd Brothers. Brilliant, brilliant record. For me, it's probably their finest moment, really. So, representing the notorious Byrd Brothers stage from the Rock Machine Turns You On period, this is the Byrds and Dolphin Smile.
Out at sea for a year, floating free from all fear. Every day, blowing spray, dolphins
sweet, isn't it? That's really nice. That's Dolphin's Smile, ostensibly a Dave Crosby song. I think he'd left the Byrds by the time of the release of Rock Machine Turns You On, certainly. Dolphin's Smile, nice subject matter as well. And I'll play that one for Kooky, who is a Santana fan but might like the melodic similarities going on there. Santana, though, were also on CBS, of course, but don't feature on either of the two Rock Machine samplers. However, they do crop up on the third CBS sampler from 1970, Fill Your Head With Rock, a double album. It's got some good stuff on it, but some pretty indifferent stuff. It's a bit unsubtle as well. Hey, fill your head with rock, man. You know, but I'll try to dig that one out for you for the future. I've got a copy, but it's not in very good radio condition, really. So I'll try and find another one. Meanwhile, check out this one from the first Rock Machine volume, The Electric Flag, and Killing Floor.
Tonight, for the dignity of man and the destiny of the man, I urge every man of both parties.
Mm-hmm. a long time ago. You know I wouldn't be here now, people, down on the killing floor. If I'd have listened to my second mind, yes, if I had listened to my second mind, you know I wouldn't be here now, people, down on the killing floor.
Lovely stuff. The supergroup, well, so-called supergroup. I mean, I never liked that expression very much. Mike Bloomfield, what a guitarist Mike Bloomfield was. Fantastic. Barry Goldberg and Buddy Miles, great percussionist. Ended up playing with Hendrix, of course, as well, didn't he, Buddy Miles? But plus a horn section, a little bit like the Blood, Sweat and Tears stuff, and the Howling Wolf song. Although the Howling Wolf's version is a reworking of a traditional blues entitled Killing Floor, or Down on the Killing Floor. It's a very, very old blues song. It's great though, isn't it? It really goes like stink. Absolutely brilliant. And the band made their live debut as a kind of a supergroup at the aforementioned Monterey Pop Festival in 67. And they were a big hit on their performance, and were duly signed almost immediately by Columbia in America. And Killing Floor was from their second album, which was less successful than their first. And so the band split shortly afterwards. But that track is another interesting example of US blues rockers dabbling with jazz themes and sounds, horn sections, etc. Very, very interesting stuff. And of course, Mike Bloomfield, he really struggled, didn't he? He really struggled with nerves, terribly nervous. And of course, he was in the band behind Dylan at the Newport Folk Festival. You know, he was a member of Paul Butterfield's blues band at that time. Really struggled with drugs as well for most of his life. Great shame he died early. I think it was 1980, perhaps. Anyway, he didn't make it into the 80s for very long. Very, very sad in that respect. What a guitarist Bloomfield was. Unbelievable. Right, over to the second volume now. And as far as the birds were concerned, the track included here illustrated this massive departure from previous efforts that I was talking about before, before we played Dolphin Smile. They started to embrace country music via their Sweetheart of the Rodeo album. It was something of a flop at the time. But of course, as you know, probably if you're a fan of this sort of stuff, it later became acknowledged as a seminal crossover work. And the people at CBS wisely chose a cover of Dylan's You Ain't Going Nowhere, I think one of those basement tape songs, to display this new but actually rather short-lived direction for the birds. Again, asking listeners to think about what they were actually listening to. And I think that's a really good idea, you know. So let's hear the birds, seems that we've already previously heard them, and this is them with their version of Dylan's You Ain't Going Nowhere.
So swift, rain won't lift, gate won't close, feelings froze. Get your mind off winter time, you ain't going nowhere. Pick up your money, pick up your tent, you ain't going nowhere. And a gun that shoots, tailgates, substitutes. Strap yourself to a tree with roots, you ain't going nowhere.
Ooh-wee, right behind, tomorrow's the day, my pride's gonna come.
Could not keep all his kings supplied with sleep. We'll climb that hill no matter how steep when we get up to it.
I'm sure you know that one. The Birds and Dylan's You Ain't Going Nowhere. Excellent stuff. Although I remember Dylan, or somebody wrote about Dylan complaining that actually McGuinn gets the words wrong, doesn't he? Because McGuinn should have sung Pick Up Your Money and Pack Up Your Tent. And he got the pick and the pack reversed. And it does make more sense actually that way. But Roger McGuinn doesn't care. He probably still sings. If he's doing it, he probably still sings it the way he sang it then. You Ain't Going Nowhere. From the Birds. And if you've never listened to Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and you I remember being a bit nervous about listening to it at the time. I think to begin with, I managed to pick up a secondhand vinyl copy from Mr. Edwards's in Kensington in Liverpool, a secondhand shop there. So I wasn't speculating too much financially. It must have cost me all of about 30 bob, but it's really worth the effort. You know, it's great, a great album. And it's acknowledged these days as a really classic moment in popular music history, really. Excellent stuff. At the time, though, I bet some listeners to Rock Machine I Love You possibly skipped that track. You know, the way you could take the needle up and put it on the next track. I bet they did, you know. There was also a Moog version of the Brandenburg Concerto Montreux. I certainly did that. Well, I skipped that. So there was always a click on the bit where I'd put the needle down after that. Amazing. Anyway, oh well. If you did, and if you turned over the LP and listened to side two, I bet you didn't take this one off. This is amazing. The final closing track on that side. Taj Mahal and A Lot of Love.
You got to dig it, babe. Yes, yes, yes. No, the devil's putting hope on love that I have in my heart for you. If I could spread it out across the sea, you know my love would cover it all up. Ain't that a lot of love for two hearts to have and hold? Now if the cooks in the kitchen had a dress as tight as yours, they wouldn't need a fire. Ain't a word I can say just to describe your fine looks.
A great ending as well, isn't it? They ended properly in those days, didn't they? Oh no, it's great, great stuff. The fantastic Taj Mahal. I'm a big Taj Mahal fan, and he's still going strong and he's still making great stuff. And A Lot of Love from his album, his current album at the time of the Rock Machine album release, The Natural Blues, which is great. I recommend that one. And Taj, of course, formed the Rising Suns in the mid 60s with Ry Cooder. And they landed a deal with Columbia almost immediately. But after a while, the band broke up. I think there were a few demos cut here and there. There might be an album collection of that stuff. I may have it actually somewhere. But Taj remained with the company. and they looked after him. And there are two excellent Taj albums from 68 and 69. The first one, eponymous album, Taj Mahal, and that second one I mentioned previously, The Natural Blues. If you ever see them on whatever, in whatever format, give them a go. You won't be disappointed. You'll be hooked then. You'll be trying to buy more and more Taj Mahals. He's probably had about 50 albums out over the years, you know. Amazing stuff, amazing stuff. And of course, it's music like this that really started to get people noticing those alternative sounds on CBS. Actually, I think both albums probably sold at least 1 million each in this country. And they got in the mainstream album charts, which people really in the business did not like that at all. So you'd find that, you know, I don't know, in 67 or 68, you know, Sound of Music was always top of the charts along with Sgt. Pepper. But these were full-priced albums. And so to be chased up the chart by something that was going for 14 and 6 didn't seem to be the right thing to do. So it's because of albums like the two Rock Machine albums, plus, you know, the Island albums, You Can All Join In and Nice Enough to Eat, those great albums from independent British label. That's why a budget album chart actually came about, because the mainstream business, although they were earning money from these sampler albums, they didn't want them to sort of knock their full-priced albums out of the charts or into a lower position, quite embarrassing in some respects. So it became a bit of an issue, especially along the British charts. I mean, in America, there's charts for everything, isn't there? All sorts of different categories. But it became quite an issue by the turn of the decade. Okay, you might be waiting now, you know, wondering why we haven't played this duo so far. You'd certainly expect to find them on a CBS sampler from the late 1960s. And they don't really need an introduction, do they?
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, and snow-crested brown, without no seam or needle work, because the child of the mountain, she'll be a true love of sleeps mine. Strands and polishes a gun, she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle mill of blazing in scarlet battalion, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
beautiful. With the clicks and pops still in there as well, I'm glad to say. From the LP, actually, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary and Thyme, but in this case, taken from the sampler Rock Machine Turns You On. That's Simon and Garfunkel and Scarborough Fair / Canticle. Learned by all accounts, all reliable accounts, from Martin Carthy, although Martin often thinks that he pinched it, but you know, he just learned it, I think. You know, it was while Paul Simon was touring folk clubs over here, of course. And to just to stop all of this nonsense about Homeward Bound, that song was written, actually partially written, at Jeff Speed's house in Widnes, and he was finishing it off at Widnes Station. It's got absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Warrington, okay? The BBC News over recent times must have been really desperate for a story. Unless Warringtonians are a little bit desperate for some kind of historical stuff. There's enough going on in Warrington over the years to cut that one out. It was definitely a Widnesian thing. Anyway, just on my little rant before we finish, really. Just time to say fare thee well with a final instrumental. This one's from Rock Machine, I Love You. It's Mike Bloomfield and Al Cooper from their excellent CBS Super Session LP. Appropriately titled Stop. Let's go out with it. And I'll see you very soon. Thank you.